Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. How's your prayer life? Now, please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And we're just going to read verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 9 and 10. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. We've been seeing Sunday mornings through the month of January, we've been seeing how we can call out to God. We've seen how we can call out for God for salvation, how David, the psalmist, called out to God that his glory might be revealed throughout the world. And then we saw Moses calling or crying out to God for help. And now today we're going to see how we can call out to God for not just for his glory, but also that we as his people might know something of his blessing. You know, some years ago, David Wilkinson wrote a short book called The Prayer of Jabez. It quickly became very popular and it quickly became a bestseller. I think something like more than 9 million copies of this little book, The Prayer of Jabez, was sold. And I remember being in America and staying with a delightful family, a godly family, and by my bed on the bedside table, there was this little book, The Prayer of Jabez, only about 90 pages, and I picked it up. I've met the author, I knew the author, he's now in glory, and I read that short book, and it was quite interesting because it left me feeling a little confused. And this morning, we don't want to leave you feeling a little confused. Sadly, in many parts of the world, and I experienced this particularly when I did some ministry some years ago in South America, sadly, there are many parts of the world, and even in the UK, where churches are preaching a gospel that we would say isn't in line with scripture. And sometimes this type of gospel that they preach is often referred to as a prosperity gospel. And I think the prayer of Jabez, sadly, in some ways, has been hijacked by the prosperity gospel movement. And this morning, this message isn't to criticise the prosperity gospel movement, because now isn't the time or the place. My responsibility, as your pastor and before the Lord this morning, is to show you and to teach you from Scripture how we too can pray in a similar way to Jabez, but we need to understand the time and the context in which Jabez was praying this prayer. Also, we're going to, if time permits, we're going to see that model prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught the disciples. When you pray, you say. And we've prayed that prayer this morning. And sometimes my concern of praying the Lord's Prayer is that because it can be so familiar that we can just repeat it parrot fashion. But actually, it's an incredible prayer, as is this prayer that we're going to consider in 1 Chronicles 4 this morning, the prayer of Jabez. But I think actually, once we get to grips with the context and the passage and the prayer itself, and when we come to understand something of Jabez, it will help us to understand more fully the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And then it will help us to understand not just the importance and the power and the privilege of prayer, it will then help us and gird us and equip us to live the kind of lives that will ultimately glorify God, will not only bless God, but will bless others. So let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And just to set the scene, I have some initial observations. So firstly, this story of Jabez tells us how God comforts those in remarkable pain. I'll say that again. This story of Jabez reminds us and tells us how God comforts those in remarkable pain. Indeed, the name Jabez means pain or sorrow. And we're told here in these little verses, 9 and 10, that his mother gave him the name Jabez because it was in pain that she bore him. And so she called him Jabez because I bore him in great pain. I think, and we mentioned this as we were approaching Christmas, because names in scripture are highly significant. But of course, I think in our culture, we tend to, when we have a baby boy or a girl, when we have a newborn in the family, we tend to choose those names that we just like. Or maybe you get that little book or you Google the most popular boys' names and girls' names at the time, and you're swayed and influenced by what is popular today. But certainly in scripture, and particularly in Hebrew families, that if you gave your child a name, it was not only significant in so much that it perhaps related to the circumstances, the event of its birth, the time of its birth in a historical setting. For instance, when I was born, the day, I'll say this quietly, because we are in Wales, I was born the day after England won the World Cup, 1966. Okay, so they won the World Cup on the 30th of July, and I was born the day after. I think actually the excitement, my mum did watch the match, I think, with all the excitement that brought on labour. And if you remember, if you're old enough to remember, that the World Cup mascot in 1966 was World Cup Willy. And so I was nearly called World Cup Willy, but I'm so glad that they decided to call me Andrew. Imagine my childhood. Imagine being at school being called World Cup Willy. It doesn't do to think of how miserable life could have been for me. And I often think of Jabez. Imagine the knock on the door. Is misery coming out to play? Is sorrow coming out to play? Or is pain coming out to play? And so there is obviously a lot of distress and there's pain, remarkable pain, not just for his mother, but also for him as a young man. But the interesting thing is that his story is sandwiched in the midst of what we call a genealogy. And so we read verse 1 Chronicles chapter 4, that the sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal, and Reiah, the son of Shobal, fathered Jahath, and Jahath fathered Ahumai and Lahad. And we read how the sons of Judah bore sons. In other words, we have a genealogy of the sons and the fathers in the tribe of Judah. And yet we come to verse 9 and we're introduced to Jabez. We suddenly discover that Jabez isn't described as the son of. And straight after verse 10, going to verse 11, the genealogy continues. And so it tells us straight away that Jabez didn't have a father. Now, we don't know why. Some sort of speculation that perhaps his mother was raped. But he was born into the tribe of Judah. So he is part of the royal tribe. He's a royal son. And with that comes blessing. However, if you didn't have a father, or a father that would be present and would be there to help raise, then it brought immense sorrow and pain and suffering upon the family. And actually, that would put at risk some of their inheritance rights. And so once we understand that, we start to understand something of the pain that he was born in, something of the pain of his mother, but the pain that he goes through as a man called pain or sorrow, Jabez. And so this story tells us that God comforts those in remarkable pain. Another observation is this, that in the story of pain, we find comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this prayer will take us on the covenantal highway that finishes with Christ himself. And so when he prays, he's not necessarily praying for a private blessing, but he is crying to God, he's calling out to God that God would bless him as part of God's covenant with his people. Do you see that? So he's crying on behalf, if you like, of God's covenant people. And so he resides in the genealogy. He is a son, a royal son of Judah, and yet he has no father. And so when you think of the pain and all that perhaps he's going through, scorned, perhaps even in some circles rejected, we see his prayer ultimately is a prayer of faith. And it's a prayer understanding something of God, of who he is. And it's a prayer, actually, that takes us to God's word and to God's covenant with his people. And so we have to understand that this prayer is uttered in those contexts. And yet, because of his faith, as evidenced, we see in chapter 2 of 1 Chronicles and verse 55 that actually that a town was named after Jabez. Isn't that interesting? So because of his faith in God, not only did God hear the prayer that was uttered, but he also responded to Jabez, and he responds to people who are in remarkable pain and suffering today. And so in order for us to take his prayer and to apply his prayer, we must accept and understand that he is praying a prayer of faith, and he looks to the future and he sees something of the promise of the Messiah that was given by God way back in the garden. See, when you think of pain and childbirth, what do you think of? Well, of course, we immediately think of Genesis 3, don't we? Because Genesis 3 tells us that because the woman was cursed and the earth was cursed, that she would in pain give birth. And so women will give birth in pain. And those of you who, ladies, who have given birth to children, you know something of the pain. And so here is a reminder that when Jabez cries out, he's crying out for redemptive mercy, because he and his mother, he recognizes this, that they are suffering the effects of the curse which fell upon the woman and the man because of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. So let's come to this this little prayer. And he says this, oh, he called upon the God of Israel. He called upon Elohim. And it's interesting that immediately he calls to the God who is able. He calls to the one true and living God. See, many people might pray, but who are they praying to? Jesus said, when you pray, you say, Our Father. And what's he specifically praying for? And this is where perhaps if we're not careful, that we can end up accepting a soft, popular theology on prosperity. But we don't want that. We want to be thinking biblically. And so when he's praying for a blessing, he's calling out to God in order that God would give him grace. That's the first point, that God would bless him with grace to sustain him, grace that would mold him and shape him and make him into the person he wants us to be. And so I was probably a young boy, if no older than 7 or 8, and I heard a man called Francis Dixon preach on this prayer, you know, many, many years ago. And he was saying that blessings come to God's children in various forms. I mean, it is true, isn't it? And it's not necessarily wrong to pray for physical things. I mean, let's go back to the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. But that's not what Jabez is praying for. When he says, bless me, and we'll come to when he asks for God to enlarge his territory, he's not necessarily saying, you know, make me rich, make me wealthy, give me a larger estate, give me a larger home. You know, in a sense, he's not even asking for a permanent home in the land, although God gives him that. There's something far more significant and deeper that he is praying for. And if we quickly just go to Ephesians 1, turn with me to Ephesians 1 and verse 3. These are the blessings that we experience as God's children today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, here we have it, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And that's the point, isn't it? That Jabez is saying, Lord, I've been blessed, that I am part of the tribe of Judah. I'm a royal son in that sense. I'm blessed that as your redeemed people, that we're in a covenant relationship with you. But what's he asking for? He is praying when he says, oh, that you might bless me. He is praying for more grace to transform his life, to help him overcome the pain and the sorrow, the remarkable pain, in order that he might become a blessing to others as a child of God. Do you see the point? That's a very different prayer than saying, Lord, make me rich, make me healthy, make me wealthy. You see? Sure, if you are blessed this morning, if you enjoy good health, then that's a blessing from God. Sure it is. If you have a family and you have close friends and who are Christian friends, are precious, then that's a blessing from God. If you have a home, and you have a roof over your head, and you have warmth and shelter and food and clothes, and that you have work, all these things are blessings. But those blessings don't last. And Jabez isn't interested in the type of blessings that don't last. He wants the grace and the blessing of God that he might continue to overcome the pain and the sorrow, that he might become and continue to grow into the person that God wants him to be. And I was thinking, imagine if we prayed for God's grace to continue to sustain us and to help us. The hymn writer said this, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. 'Twas grace that relieved me of all my fears. And so that's where he's coming from. Grace, praying for grace. Secondly, he's praying for growth. As he calls out to God, as he cries out to God, oh, that you would bless me. Here we have it. And enlarge my border. Or in some translations, it says, enlarge my territory. Now, this is not a prayer asking for a larger house. Although there are times when God graciously does give us a slightly larger house. I remember when we moved up from Neath to Merthyr Tydfil. We were in a lovely little house there in Neath Abbot. But we did say, Lord, when we were looking for a new house, if you would be gracious in allowing us to have an extra bedroom, a guest room, that we could use the home, God's house, God's home, for his honour and glory. And he was gracious in giving us that extra room, not for ourselves, but that we could use the extra room for his glory. I think James, doesn't he, in his letter, he deals with this, when he says that the motive in our hearts, God knows the motive in your heart. And I think Jesus in Luke's passage that we read earlier touched on that. You know, someone knocks your door and it's an earthly hour, you know, and in your heart, as a friend, you're thinking, oh, the chains on the door are all locked up, the kids are safely in bed. But a father extends to a child or to a son or to a daughter because of their love. And so our Heavenly Father extends to us enormous blessings. But the blessings that Jabez is after are not physical, practical. But he's looking for blessings. He's looking for grace and for growth. And he's looking for things that will help, things that will last, things that will prosper him spiritually. Because ultimately, he wants his life to count. He wants his life to, in some way, to glorify God. Is that your prayer? Is that your cry this morning? Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my border. He's basically saying, Lord, will you not grant me a bigger faith, a greater faith? Will you not bless me with your grace that my heart and if you like, my soul will be enlarged, that my faith will be enlarged, that I might be able to serve you and live for you and overcome the difficulties of living in a cursed and fallen world? That's the context of the prayer. Oh, enlarge my heart for you. Enlarge my love for you. Enlarge my heart of mercy for others. Enlarge my tent, my territory, my border. Enlarge my heart that it might glorify you. So there's a desire for God to sustain him, to use him, that he might flourish and prosper by God's grace, for God's glory, that he might grow. He's not content with who he is. And his identity is not in a man that was born under painful and distressing circumstances, but he sees his identity, that he's part of the covenant people of God, or the covenanted people of God. And so our identity this morning is in Christ. Going back to Ephesians 1 and verse 3. That he in Christ has given us, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Friend, that's you this morning, if you're a child of God, that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessings of heaven, and every spiritual blessings of the Holy Spirit, that you've been chosen, that you've been predestined, adopted, that you've been brought near into his kingdom, and that he has blessed you with the glorious grace which you have and you enjoy in the beloved. That's the amazing thing of this prayer of Jabez, that he's praying with the eye of faith, knowing that all these blessings, these spiritual blessings, are available to him. And so he's not content to be the man he is. He wants to grow. Often we pray, don't we, that we might grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But thirdly, it's not just grace he prays for, not just growth, but he prays for guidance. He says this: "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me." He's praying for guidance. And so we need to not only pray for grace and for growth, but we need to pray for guidance, not just individually, but collectively. This is a prayer that we can pray, that God would bless us as a community of his people, as a local church, that we might be sustained by his grace, that there might be growth, spiritual growth. I think sometimes churches, particularly today, they're so hung up on numerical growth that they neglect the proper growth, the more important growth. You see, not all that glitters is gold, and don't be misled by numbers, because numbers often can be very misleading, and numbers can actually paper over the reality of what's going on in people's hearts. Numbers, no. Real, authentic growth is people maturing, growing in grace, knowledge, understanding, growing in the very likeness of Jesus. Do we resemble him who loved us and gave himself for us? Guidance. We need his guidance. Oh Lord, show us the way. This is the way. Walk you in it. We need his guidance. And he needs to lead us and to guide us, because that's what God does. The shepherd, the Eastern shepherd, he goes before the sheep. He leads them beside the still waters. He takes them to green pastures. He leads. The Western shepherd drives. Thank God that the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who's willing to guide us and to lead us into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though we walk through remarkably painful times, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, And here's an observation. Don't ever forget, and shadows can't harm you. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadows of death, he is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. And so he's asking for guidance. And doesn't Jesus teach us that in the Lord's Prayer, or in that model prayer, that we are to ask him, ask God, our Father, to lead us and to guide us. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us in paths of righteousness for your namesake. But of course, God is perfect, he's holy, he would only lead us in the right way. That's why his ways are perfect, and his ways are often beyond our thinking, understanding, and comprehension. And so he prays for guidance. Oh, that you might be with me, that your hand might be with me, that your hand might be upon me, literally means that you will steer me and you will lead me and you will guide me in the way that I should walk and in the way that I should go. So he prays for grace and for growth and for guidance. One other thing, he prays for godliness. He prays for godliness, that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. What does Jesus teach us to pray in that Lord's Prayer that we prayed this morning, we read this morning, you know, that deliver us from evil. Oh Lord, help us. Help us to be godly men and women. Enable us, lead us and guide us and guard us and keep us, that we might be the people, that we might grow into the people you want us to be, that we might be sustained by your grace, that we might overcome the times of remarkable pain and sorrow, strife, suffering, rejection, or whatever, my friend, you are going through this morning. Godliness. What a thing to pray for, isn't it? That he's not interested with life here. He's interested with glory for the God who's in heaven. And so, in a sense, it's he wants his life to count, but not that his reputation or his name will be put up in lights. No. It's because of God's name. It's God's reputation. It's God's worth. It's for God's honor. It's for God's glory. Do you see that? That is the heart. And that is the motivation of his praying. So James says, if you pray with selfish motives, your prayers will fall on deaf ears. God won't answer. But he knows the sincerity of your heart. And as we approach a new month in February, don't forget the revival prayer meeting on February the 6th, Saturday morning, 10 a.m. That is going to be, bi-monthly, will be the springboard into a week of prayer. And every month there will be a revival prayer meeting. We're not doing away with that. But what we're calling the church to do is to pray and to cry and to call out to God, that we might know his grace, we might know growth, that we might know guidance, that we might ultimately live godly lives for his honour and for his glory. And I suppose why this becomes very popular, this little prayer tucked away in a genealogy, why it becomes very prayer for sort of the modern day church is because of the next phrase that we have at the end of verse 10. And the Lord answered his prayer. You know, can I just say this? And I've read loads of stuff concerning the prayer of Jabez. Okay? This is not something that if you want to recite and God will answer, I'm going to disappoint you. no, this is not what this prayer is about. This prayer is all about God. It's all about God. God being gracious in sustaining his people, in seeing his people grow, enabling his people to grow, in guiding his people, and bringing his people to a place of godly living so that their lives, in some measure, will glorify God. You see, a prayer that is prayed for the glory of God and for the name and for the virtue and for the honor of God will be heard, will be answered. But if you're praying this morning all kinds of prayers with selfish motives, with a selfish ambition, with vain conceit, and then God will not be pleased to hear and answer those prayers. However, when those prayers are prayed and cried out to God for his glory, for his honor, and when he knows the extent and sincerity of our heart, then God will be pleased to hear and answer. That's why whoever calls on the name of the Lord for salvation will be saved. Because who gets the glory in salvation? Not of works, nothing of us, lest any of us should dare boast. It's all of Christ. It's all of God. And that's why when we pray for his glory, that his glory will be seen across the nation, well, then he will hear and answer those prayers. Because God delights for his glory to be made seen and known throughout this world. That this humility is required when we cry out for help. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need your grace. And so in closing, we see something of the humility of Jabez in saying, I need your grace to sustain me. I need your grace to enable me to grow. I need your grace that will guide me. I need you to help me in areas of my life so that I might be living a godly life for your honour and for your glory. This prayer is all about God, not about Jabez, and it's not about us. And this prayer needs to be understood in the light of other prayers that have been penned for us in Scripture. And this prayer will take you, will take me, as it did with Jabez, with the eye of faith, to the one in whom we enjoy all the spiritual blessings of God himself, that we're safe and secure in the Beloved. And so this morning we say, my heart, our hearts are filled with thankfulness because of God and because of his precious Son and because of the comfort that we have and receive through his Son, by his Spirit, a reminder to us through his precious word. Thank God for godly Jabez. Thank God this morning that he still comforts those through his Son, by his Spirit, particularly those who are in remarkable pain. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Well, we're going to sing.